we've been going through the book of Corinthians just a little bit at a time. We find ourselves in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and verses 18 to 21 is what we're going to deal with tonight. And I've entitled the message, Puffed Up Christians. Puffed Up Christians. Verse number 18, now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? Puffed up Christians. Let's pray. Lord, would you enable us tonight, Lord, to hear from you? Lord, would you show us in our lives where maybe perhaps there is some pride that, as Brother Peter mentioned, has sneaked into our life and we thought it was gone and we dealt with it, but it's popped up in another area. Lord, we do recognize that is a part of our human nature and it's a sinful thing and not something to be taken lightly. And Lord, we do ask that you would please work in our lives and show these things to us. And Lord, I do ask as well that you would then enable us and empower us to be able to understand even how to humble ourselves before you. Would you fill me with your spirit, fill me with your power, empty me of myself, empty me of my pride and my desire for people to notice me, and help me, Lord, instead to be filled with a desire for you to be noticed, recognized, and adored. I ask that you would help me with that. In Jesus' name, amen. During the summertime, have you ever driven on the road here in Wisconsin, maybe on a country road somewhere in one of our counties nearby here, and you saw a roadkill of maybe a deer or something like that on the side of the road, and it was all swelled up. You ever seen that before? It's all swelled up with decay and whatever else goes on when that happens. And if you've ever been around anything like that, you know the one thing you don't want to do is to break that carcass, right? Just leave it alone, all right? Because if you do break that carcass, there's going to come a smell out of that that will make you not want to eat for a while. Maybe that's a good diet plan, I don't know. But you're not going to want to eat for a while because, boy, that is a bad thing. You know, that's what we are when we as Christians are puffed up. Because it's the carnality, it's the worldliness, it's the base part of us that is being puffed up. It's just like with that carcass, it ceases to be alive after it gets hit, and it could live on and live for years if it hadn't been hit, and it would never swell like that. It could be in the same heat, it could be in the same environment, but it won't swell unless it dies. Once it dies and there ceases to be blood flowing through it, those bodily particulates begin to decay and swell up, and it gets like that and puts off that smell. For you and me as Christians, when we are puffed up, what we're proving is that we are giving into the baser part of our nature, that fleshly human nature that still resides within us. And again, the Bible calls it the flesh. And whenever we see ourselves puffed up, we can know this: it is not the Spirit of God that is leading us to that. It is every single time the flesh. And we need to be careful about that. Well, these Corinthians were having the same problems that you and I have. And Paul was writing to them recognizing that there are some of them, or were some of them, who were puffed up. And I would just point out to you in verse number 18 that they were puffed up in denial. Verse 18, Paul says, now, some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. They were lifted up in pride. They were exalting themselves, and they had this idea that there's no way that Paul is coming. I don't know what they were thinking, but I can imagine, I can kind of put myself in their shoes and think that maybe they were thinking, Paul is a big talker. You know, he talks a lot about this desire for us to be a certain way, and his desire to have an influence in our lives, and for us to walk the right way. But he's not really, really willing to, you know, put his money where his mouth is and be here. He's all talk, and so he won't come. I imagine in their mind, that's what they thought. Or perhaps they thought, he doesn't really care. But of course, they were in denial. Paul really did care, and he was led by the Lord to care. And can I tell you that God does care? And when a church like ours, we don't have an Apostle Paul, and we shouldn't look to an Apostle Paul. We have the Holy Spirit, we have God's Word in its fullness, and that's all we need. But I also want you to understand that God is just as caring about our church as Paul was about the Corinthian church, and even more. And God will deal with our church just like Paul was ready to deal with the Corinthian church, and God would deal with the Corinthian church if they wouldn't stop being puffed up. God will deal with a church who is puffed up. And you and I need to remember that God does care for His church. Please remember that. There's a lot of things that you can get away with in life, and God will seemingly turn a blind eye to, but being puffed up against your brethren and not being what you ought to be in the confines of the church is not something that God will overlook. God will deal with that. God is jealous over His church. Well, let's look back at 1 Corinthians 8, and see maybe some of the reasons why they were puffed up. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Let's look at why, perhaps, they were puffed up. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, with verse number 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have, what's that next word? Knowledge. And knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. He's writing to the same group, and he's saying we all have knowledge, and here's what knowledge does. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge is good and it's right. It's good to know things and it's good to know about the Lord. But knowledge in and of itself, all it will do is puff up. It's the idea of, for instance, the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has an inlet, but it has no outlet. And after a while, it just has, evaporated enough that the salinity within the Dead Sea is so high that nothing really can live in there, nothing of any substance anyway. And so it has just become basically a useless source of water, so to speak. Well, you know, when you and I are just filling ourselves with knowledge and we're never giving out from that, then that's what happens to you and me. We got to be careful with that. Knowledge will just simply puff us up and make us prideful. And so how do you get around that? Well, I'll put it to you this way. Here's one thing that I heard from, I forget what preacher it was. He wrote a book. And the book was about street preaching. And here was his theory, just his theory. It's not Bible, okay? But his theory was every pastor ought to go street preaching on a regular basis. And here's why. He said, because you preach to your people and you can get puffed up and think that you're actually pretty good at what you do. But he said, when you get out in public and you street preach, you realize that you aren't very good at what you do. And you're not all that you think you are. Well, friends, that's actually a good point, isn't it? Whether it's street preaching or just soul winning or just working out in the world and encouraging people with the Word of God and sharing with them the Word of God, it's a humbling process for all of us. One of the things we all have to be careful of, I do and you do, is that we don't just fill ourselves with knowledge. And I want you to study God's Word and know God's Word, but don't let it end there. If that's all you do, you're in trouble. Fill yourself with the knowledge of God's Word and then go out and minister to people. Because here's again what that will do. That will humble us and give us an outlet for that because knowledge puffs up. But let's go over to the book of Colossians because there's another reference in Colossians chapter 2, that shows us why we can get puffed up and why perhaps the Corinthians were puffed up thinking that Paul wouldn't come. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 18. Colossians 2 and verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. You know, another thing that can cause us to be puffed up is when we are dealing or working with a fleshly mind. When we're doing all the things that we do just based on how I can reason things out right here. and not being led by the Holy Spirit. I need to be walking in the Holy Spirit. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse number 4. It says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" They were arguing with one another, and why was it? Because they were carnal. They were just thinking according to the flesh. And that will cause us to be puffed up. That will cause us to think like these Corinthians did and be in denial about what God wants us to do. How do you avoid being carnal? Well, the way you avoid being carnal is to daily walk with God. All of us need to get into a habit of opening up God's Word in the morning or sometime during the day. I still think the morning is the best for the vast majority of people. To open up God's Word in the morning, read God's Word and pray and seek His face and ask for His help and all of those different things. If you and I will do that and then throughout the day seek God's face by reading His Word and praying, then that will help us to not be carnal. It'll help us to walk in the Spirit. And when we don't have that, what we end up doing is we end up walking in carnality and we end up being puffed up one against another. You ever heard of churches, and maybe you've been a part of a church where business meetings are a nightmare? Anybody here ever been a part of a church where business meetings? Now, every business meeting is a dread, even in our church. But I mean a nightmare. Anybody been a part of a church like that? I know some of you have. You know where that comes from? You know why people? I've heard of things like chairs being thrown. Wow. I've heard of things like names being called and people storming out and being angry. I've heard of all kinds of stuff that happens in church business meetings when something fairly small is being decided. I've heard of all of that. You know where that comes from? That comes from fleshly minds of Christians who are puffed up. And they're puffed up because they're in a fleshly mind. And I want to encourage all of us that when we walk with the Lord, you know what He'll do? He'll humble us. And He'll cause our mind to begin to think according to the Spirit. And when we're thinking according to the Spirit, you know what will happen? We'll have much less friction in our lives with people. We'll naturally humble ourselves a little bit more. Just as a little side note, by the way, that's also one of the secrets to a peaceful marriage. Walking in the Spirit. Because when you walk in the Spirit, listen, your husband or wife is going to irritate you. They're a human being, okay? And they're going to irritate you. And they're going to do things that you don't agree with. And they're going to have things that, you know, you are not on the same page about and all of that, and things and times where you're sure that they are on purpose pushing your buttons. And the reason that you're sure about that is they are. I can assure you now. But you know the way to handle that is to walk in the Spirit. Because when you walk in the Spirit, you can respond rightly. And that doesn't mean rolling over and never speaking about that which needs to be handled, right? The Holy Spirit doesn't lead us to just keep our mouth shut and never say, hey, I'd like to bring something up to you. This needs to be dealt with. But when we do so, it can be done in a kind and a gracious way, in a loving way, and all of that. And it's the same in the church. It's the same in any relationship that we have. The Holy Spirit of God will lead us not to be puffed up, but to be humble. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 18. They were puffed up in denial. Verse number 19 assures them that they will have a day of reckoning. Verse 19, "But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power." There was a day of reckoning coming. His plan literally was to come. They could be puffed up all they want and think that He wasn't coming, but He was going to come. Now, what I love about it is that He says, "But I will come to you shortly." And what's that next phrase? "If the Lord will." Paul was not presuming upon God and saying, well, I'm an apostle, I know what God's will is. He said, I'm going to do this if the Lord will. That comes from James chapter number 4. Can you turn over there quickly with me? I won't spend a lot of time on it because it's just kind of a side note, but it's good for us to remember. James chapter 4, this is the way all of us should think and we should act. James chapter 4 and verse, let's start with verse 13. Where it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is, what's that last word? Evil. Boy, God doesn't think of it as a good thing, does he? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's one of the reasons, by the way, when we have politicians get up, and boy, we just had a politician get up and give all kinds of promises in the last couple of weeks, didn't we? I mean, for all we know, we are about to enter into the greatest utopia ever. Because after all, this one individual is going to usher in perfection, and he's going to straighten out all the ills of our country. And by the way, I hope he does. But I also know, and I cringe a little bit when he says those things, because I think, buddy, you better be careful. What you ought to say is, if the Lord will, this is what I plan to do. Here's how I plan to do it. And I pray and trust that by the grace of Almighty God, it will work. I'd like to see a little more humility out of the man, but I'll trust the Lord to deal with that. But listen, you and I, we know better. You and I need to be careful with our boastings, careful with what we say. And that's what Paul said that he would do. I'm going to come to you if the Lord will. And when he came, he would come with a purpose. That purpose was not to know the speech of the puffed up ones. The purpose was to know the power of the puffed up ones, all right? It's easy to talk big, but what is the power that you have? Which leads us to verse 20, which is that the kingdom of God is more than talk. Notice what it says in verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Don't tell me how close you are with the Lord just with your words. I ought to be able to see it in your life. It's not enough to talk about how close we are with the Lord. Shouldn't it be evident in our lives if we really do have a walk with the Lord and we have an inroad with him? Absolutely it should be. It should be something that should be evident in our lives to the point where we know that Jesus said when speaking of false prophets, he said, ye shall know them by their fruits. So when a prophet comes and he says, boy, I'm a mouthpiece for God, you can look at his fruit and figure out if he really is right or not. But not only that, it goes to you and me where the Word of God says about us, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So listen, if those things aren't in your life and that fruit of the Spirit is not evident in your life, then you're talking about how close you are with the Lord, it means nothing. Because that's not what God is looking for. God is looking for the power that should be there. Now, by the way, in the apostles' time, it was power beyond even what you and I think. Let's look at a couple passages of Scripture and see what that power was all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It was really, first of all, a power for miracles. Because again, remember, they didn't have the completed Word of God. You and I do. They didn't have the completed Word of God. So if somebody like Paul was coming along and saying he was an apostle, a mouthpiece for God, then God gave them signs and wonders often to show that they really were from God. You and I don't have that anymore because we have the completed Word of God. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 4. Let's start with verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul was not worried about being a smooth talker. He just did what was right and preached the truth. And part of that was God gave him the ability to perform miracles as a testimony to the Gentiles that this is the messenger of God. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter number 15. Romans 15, he says something similar there. Romans 15. Verse number 18. Romans 15 and verse 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and from round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Well, how did he have that? How did he demonstrate that power? With mighty signs and wonders. And so Paul is saying to the Corinthians here, again, remember, he has the power and the authority of an apostle. And he's saying, all right, you're puffed up. You really think you're all that? I'm going to come and you show me the power of God that's in you. Let's see what God has done for you. Again, you and I might not look for that today because we are in a day when those sign gifts, at least for the most part, are set aside because we have the Word of God, and that's a study for a whole nother time. And I won't be too dogmatic on that statement, but I will say this. Most of that is set aside, but in Paul's day, that was a serious part. Today, how would I word that? What I would word to people is this. Listen, if I'm going to come to you, it's not important how much you talk and how smooth you can talk. It's, does what you say line up with the Word of God? Does it line up with the Word of God? Because it's easy for me to convince people, but does it line up with the Word of God? And I want to encourage all of you to be very cautious as you think about, as you read, as you watch videos, whatever it is when you're talking about or reading or whatever it might be about anything to do with God's Word and religion and all of that, there are smooth talkers out there who deceive the hearts of the simple. And there's a whole movement now of people who are, as I mentioned before, are kind of heading back toward the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church. There's a whole movement of people, and some of that is a kind of a reaction, kind of like a pendulum swinging from the just crazy, charismatic, and non-denominational churches that are all over the place as far as doctrine and all over the place as far as music. And after a while, by the way, that worship style just is dead and lifeless. And so people are swinging back the other way to the other extreme of going back to many times the Catholic or Orthodox Church because there's some orthodoxy there. But here's one of the things that I warn you about. When you hear people who talk like that, here's what you want to look out for. Do they get the basis of their decisions? Do they base their decisions on what the Word of God says? And the answer is no, they don't. In every case, it's always based on man's tradition or feelings or what I like or what so-and-so, a commentator, or so-and-so, a church father said or whatever. But you will almost never see them say, let me give you five reasons why I think infant baptism is okay from God's Word. You just won't find that. Or let me give you 10 reasons why I think we should do the Lord's Supper this way based on the Word of God. It will almost always be based on tradition or church fathers or all of that. Listen, watch out for that. Why? Because that's just smooth talk. Don't tell me how smooth you can talk. Let me see the power of God that you have. And this is where God's power is. And that, listen, we will, by God's grace, always believe that as an independent Baptist church. That we base what we do as best we can on God's Word. Sometimes we have to make decisions. There's a gray area and we have to land somewhere. But we're going to try to land as much as we can based on a solid understanding of what God's Word says. And all God's people said, amen. Don't be afraid to say amen on that stuff, all right? Make me nervous sometimes. I wonder if some of you are going to come in with one of those bishop hats one of these days. Can you imagine me up here with that? Boy, wouldn't I look silly with a fish hat on? All right, Romans 14. Romans chapter number 14. Romans chapter 14. This need for power is not just the power of miracles, but there's also a need for the power of a changed life. Look at Romans 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Friends, that's what it is. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. What makes you part of God's people and what makes you part of God's kingdom is not whether or not you eat or drink the right things. That's not what God is looking for. You know what he is looking for? He's looking for whether or not you have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what makes you one of his. And that comes from the effect that he has on all of us. That can't be fabricated. That's something that only God can do. I just thought about that. I mentioned it this morning with the videos that I saw of the Hasidic Jews. And you remember I was telling you the things that they went through and all of the efforts that they went through to put forth a show, right? A show of religious fervor. But you know, one of the things that I heard in their interview is that they were asked, why don't you proselytize people? And the one guy said, listen, we never proselytize. We never try to convert people to our religion. In fact, we go out of our way not to convert people to our religion. Well, you know what that tells me? What I already knew from God's word. That means it's a dead religion. And what I mean by that is this. If you have no desire to share with others, if you supposedly have this great relationship with the creator of the universe and you have no desire to share that with others, then your religion is a sham. And of course, you and I know it is. I'm not picking on just Jews because, you know, Christians can be the same way sometimes, quote unquote Christians. But any religion that doesn't have a desire for others to have fellowship with the same God that they do, that's not a real religion. Listen, one of the things about your religion and mine is that when we walk with the Lord, one of the very first thing that's going to happen with us, if we're really walking with the Lord, is we're going to want to share that with others. We're going to want others to know what we have and how they can have it too. That is real Christianity. All right, let's get back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. And we're almost done here tonight, so hang with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. They were puffed up in denial. There was a day of reckoning coming. Their religion should have been more than just talk. And now verse 21, the choice was theirs. Verse 21, what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of weakness, of meekness? Sorry. So the choice was theirs. They could have Paul come with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness. You see, Paul was speaking to them like a father with his children, and that father was giving his children two choices. And dads, this is good. This is lesson number one for us as dads to teach our kids. All right, kids, you have two choices. I can come to you in one of two ways. Either I come with a rod or I can come in the spirit of love and of meekness. And you know, when he speaks of a rod, do you know what a rod is in the Bible? It's not a rod as in like a steel metal pipe. That's not a rod. A rod is what in Old English, in country settings, would be called a switch. It would be a long and flexible branch of a tree, for instance, like a willow tree or something else that would have some bend to it. And that was a rod. That's what they would use. And they would beat their animal with that when their animal wasn't doing right. They would beat their children with that when their children weren't right. And it didn't do any physical damage as far as break bones or put any bruises on, but boy, it would sting. If you've ever been hit by something like that, you know that hurts. And you know that that's what Paul was saying to them. Listen, I can come to you with a rod. And he wasn't talking about a literal one. He's talking about a spiritual one. But wait a minute. Do you realize that God might come to us in one of those two ways as well? God could come to our church with a rod if we're puffed up. This is a serious issue. God can deal with us and humble us in ways. And friends, can I just share with you a couple of verses from Proverbs? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10. Will you turn with me to Proverbs 10? Because I know our culture has said that the rod, discipline in that form is not something that the world thinks is good, but the world is wrong. I heard, what did I hear a statistic on? I'm going to get these numbers wrong. I'm going to get those numbers wrong. But the number of children that are on ADD medication is staggering, the percentage of kids that are on that. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. You realize that in God's economy, in God's nation, you know what he would do with those who broke the law? He wouldn't put them in a jail for 2 or 3 years or more or less, whatever. You know what God set up? That if someone stole, number one, they needed to return that and they needed to return it a couple of times over, but then also that they were to be publicly beaten with a rod. And then you know what happened? They were let go and they moved on with life. You know what would be good for our society today? If it'll never happen, because our society is too dumb. We still think it's a good idea to just throw people in jail for a couple years. But as if when somebody steals, that they are taken out publicly and beaten, and then they're sent back home and made to restore what they stole with multiple times over. You know what you'd have less of? Stealing. And by the way, rape, the rapist ought to be put to death. Not the child who's conceived in the womb, the innocent, the most innocent of all the individuals that are involved. Not the child in the womb, the rapist. Killed. No questions. Kidnapper, same thing. In God's economy, kill the kidnapper. Why wouldn't that change things today? Murder is obviously the same. But our society is just nuts. We've gone out of our mind. And we don't do those things. We kill the innocent and let the guilty go. Look at chapter 13 and verse 24. 13 and verse 24. It says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And that word betimes means early on or in the very beginning or when it's a convenient time. So if we spare that rod, if we say, you know what, I don't want to deal with that. I don't like the discomfort of having to deal with that kind of discipline, then what we're doing is we're saying, I love myself more than I love my child. It's still what the Bible says, right? Again, our society, I know, disagrees with me, but society couldn't raise a kid if they wanted to. Chapter 22 and verse 15, look at what the Word of God says there. Chapter 22 and verse 15. This is why timeouts don't work, by the way. Chapter 22 and verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And that's why timeouts don't work, because timeouts, boy, I said that like a Wisconsinite, didn't I? Timeout. They don't deal with the foolishness that's bound in all of our hearts. You know, my little grandson, little Gideon, is as cute as all get out. He's getting to that stage where he smiles now at you when you look at him. And that's fun for me. I'm enjoying that. Pick him up and have him smile at me. That makes me feel good. But here's what I know about that cute little guy. Foolishness is bound in his heart. He was born with foolishness in there. You know, God gave one remedy for getting that foolishness driven from him, and it's the rod. No other way will do it. Timeouts won't do it. Yelling certainly won't do it. Oh, that's the worst. That'll make it 10 times worse. That'll just bring up bitterness and anger and resentment and hurt. And sometimes we as parents, I know I am, I'm guilty of that. It's easier sometimes just to yell and have my voice go up rather than to calmly and decently in love and in care deal with the issue and apply the rod to the backside. You know that Paul was saying he was going to do that with the church. Listen, do you want me to come with a rod? Or I can come in the spirit of love and of meekness. How do we want God to deal with us? The spirit of love and meekness? Boy, that's how I want God to deal with me. I want him to be able to come to me and say, Mike, straighten that out. Yes, sir. All right, thanks. Let's enjoy our time together. I hate it when God has to come to me and say, son, we've got some discipline to do because you're puffed up, you're in rebellion, and you won't do what's right. But either way, if he loves me, if he loves our church, he'll deal with us. And he does love our church. So let's handle it right before he has to bring the rod. Let's pray, and then we'll move on with the service here. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for what you have reminded us in your word of how being puffed up is such a such a serious matter, that it means that if we are puffed up and we don't deal with it, that you will have to discipline us. Lord, would you enable us to see where we are puffed up in our lives? Lord, I ask for myself personally, please. Lord, I'm blind many times to my own pride. Show it to me and make it clear. And Lord, would you continue to work on me? And then, Lord, I pray for these, your people, that you do the same for all of us. And Lord, would you make it to where when you come to us, you can come in the spirit of meekness and in love, and those issues can be dealt with grace and with loving kindness, so that we can walk on in sweet fellowship with you. Would you help us with that, I pray. Now, Lord, bless your people tonight. Encourage them in Jesus' name. Amen.